The Rebel Leadership Podcast, a refreshing take on authentic leadership told through real stories. Let's smash the status quo and change how leaders lead once and for all. Has anyone ever told you just to come up with a few ideas? To some, easy peasy. To others, the most terrifying task ever. On today's episode of the Rebel Leadership Podcast, I'm talking to Paul Pita, Chief Experience Officer at Rebel Interactive Group. He used to own his own agency and has been a creative his entire life. We dive deep into the world of creativity, ideas, and as leaders, how to unleash it in your organization. Listen, reflect, and embrace your next aha moment.
I was thinking about this last night and thinking about creativity. And I thought about this in two ways, right? We think about creativity in solving problems. But then when you think about this, that creativity happens when there's a fire in the room, right? Urgency happens. People get really creative with that. Not in the sense of like the way that we market, but when you start looking at somebody's trapped, they will find a creative way to get out of that. And if you think about it in the sense of urgency, when you are now assembling a team to come up with creative thinking, there should be a sense of urgency in that, right? Not to make you panic, but to make you, to force you to think beyond that guy, that person that's stuck in the room saying, I can't get out of here. There's no windows, no doors.
Right.
But then they realize, wait a minute, if I dig a hole, I can get out. Right.
You're making me think of something that, like, I always had this preconceived notion about myself because of what I was told, which was you're only created if you have designer in your title or creative in your title or copywriter in your title. Right. And now I see that completely differently. Totally. It's like creativity is strategy. Creativity is business acumen. Creativity is communication styles. Like, you,
sophisticated thinking. Right.
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 Yeah. It's that, like, seeing different answers to the same question.
Right.
Seeing seemingly unrelated things and putting those two things together to create a new idea.
That's right.
Or a new direction, even that someone else
you
then designs.
You have a barrier in front of you, and you have a, like, I can't get through that. But then it's like, well, but wait a minute. We have 30 people here. If we all stood on each other's shoulders, we can get over this barrier.
But why do you think leaders say that? Like, why do you think some leaders put other people down and say only the creatives are creative?
I would say there's probably some fear of being outshined. You know, I think, you know, we've talked in length about great leadership, and leadership are to allow other people to be great. I believe that's what leadership is. Mm-hmm. It's not about you. It's about the others.
It's selfless.
And selfless. And I think there are some leaders that may not live their way, live their leadership that way. And I think to be able to take that step back and say, how can I create an environment, a space to allow even the ones that don't have the creative title to feel that they can be creative?
So how do you do that? Like, when you get invited to a brainstorm, mm-hmm. Paul Pita gets invited. Mm-hmm. Like, what does Paul Pita do before the brainstorm, during the brainstorm, and after the brainstorm to generate ideas?
Right. That's an interesting question, because I think about it of who's going to be in the room. Are they a bunch of creatives that have that title? Where they are all going to try to be, want to be the smartest one in the room. Mm-hmm. I guess I prepare myself when I walk into a room to level set the room. It's not the cliche of any idea is a good idea, but it is the belief to say, put anything out there and be vulnerable enough to say, I have an idea. I don't know if it's any good, but maybe one of you can build on that.
And then knowing that when you do throw an idea out there and someone challenges it, that is the purpose of a brainstorm.
That
so you have deal. to You can't welcome also, that. Yeah, you have to welcome it, right. You can't also dig your heels in
no.
and say, no, that idea was like the best idea. Because even if it is the best idea in the end, what you're doing is creating this feeling of, okay, now maybe I shouldn't throw out that random idea. If I'm a more junior person in the room, maybe that was the best idea. And now right. I'm sheepish about throwing a raw right. nugget.
Yeah.
A start of an idea out there because this one is so polished coming in.
I've used the term the wheat germ of an idea, and it was brought to me by a former employer from when I was young in my career. But I love the idea of a wheat germ of an idea because it is that seed. And sometimes I preface an idea that I say, this is not a fully baked idea. This is a seed mm-hmm. of an idea, that wheat germ of an idea. See if you can nurture it and culture it and make it whatever you want. Mm-hmm. Because it could really be something great. And it may not. It may not, but it may have triggered somebody else's thought to say, wow, you had this idea about growth and organic elements to business. And that might have been some sort of metaphor that you were trying to use in this idea. But somebody took it and said, well, this isn't about necessarily the growth, but this is about the culture and the nurturing of the soil. So now that becomes a different element. It's right. not about the harvest. It's about nurturing what that harvest could be. Mm-hmm. And I think that's how I think I prepare myself to, and you know me well enough, I try to be silly and try to bring humor to it because that also lowers the anxiety of, do I have to be the smartest someone in the room? If they see a senior leader being kind of goofy and even go off the track a little bit to where they might be talking about something that is relevant or not relevant to it, it opens up the idea. And this, again, from that same mentor that I had, he would walk into the office with a Quasimodo limp and a hunchback. And he said to me one day, and I thought, and I've kept this, if they can see leadership being silly and being themselves, that opens up the invitation for everyone else to be silly and yeah. be themselves.
Yeah, allow people to be passionate and have fun.
Right, you don't have to be so sophisticated and polished because creativity comes from the mind, yes, but it comes from association.
Yeah, right? So there's another part of brainstorming that you're really experienced at that I think people could learn from, which is preparation.
Yeah.
So when people are not prepared in the brainstorm to have those wheat germs of ideas, mm-hmm. and you come in and you are, the dynamic shifts.
It does.
Because then it could be perceived as like, oh, the leader's just coming in here and taking over all the ideas. But what you intend in that is like, I'm coming prepared and therefore everybody else should come equally as prepared. There's a bar that you're setting by coming prepared every right. single time.
Absolutely.
Preparation. So what are the ways that you personally have found to be successful when preparing?
Right.
Where do those ideas come from?
I mean, I don't even start in my preparation to come up with ideas. I guess I look at preparation as, I think about it as like the nutrients that we eat to give ourselves energy. I look at preparing for a meeting to what are ingredients that I need to be nourished with to go in with ideas. So that might be looking at the history of what a client's brand was about, or I might look at competitors. I may even go outside of a category that we're working on. If it's working in the financial district, I might go and look at consumer brands and look how they achieved a certain motivation and say, can I apply that psychology that this sports brand utilized in this financial district? So I try to mm-hmm. get out of getting trapped in, well, it's a financial company, I need to only look at the financial industry. We can learn as creative thinkers from so many associations of childhood, nostalgia, other categories that we've experienced.
1,000,000% agree.
It's just
like the best strategy comes from, at least in my experiences, of seeing expert dot connectors.
Exactly.
Is like looking up from what you're currently doing, the task at hand. That's important.
Of course.
But looking up and over across the past experiences you've had, what external influences are doing cross industry, just looking up around,
tasting it, smelling it.
Yeah. Talking to people.
Totally.
Asking input. Like another thing that we do together quite naturally, but it didn't just start there. It's built over relationships. Like you find your person that is like your creative nutrient.
Right.
You're one of my creative nutrients. Yes. So it's like if I'm stuck on something and I'm hit a wall, because likely if I'm doing it myself, you hit a wall quick.
Right.
But if you're like, ugh. If I have the courage to just say that I'm stuck and be okay with the fact it's fine, you're stuck.
Exactly.
Go tap your other partner in crime, in this case you.
Take a bite of an apple.
To say like, here's where I'm at. It's a germ. It's like nothing, but I feel like I'm on the verge of something. Help me build on this.
That's right.
You're opening, you're inviting people in, and people love that.
Right.
Like they fuel off that invitation to be creative.
Especially when they are... If they feel that they may not be creative. I found some of the most creative people, and one group I met with, they were accountants.
Yeah.
And I was blown away by the level of creativity, true creativity, that they came in. And I think it was a built up energy that they had, that they were being asked for the first time, let's put all existing perceptions aside. How do we achieve this goal? Anything is, the door is open for
imagine there's ideas. No budget. We say no that all the time all in the brainstorm. Time. Like, imagine there's no budget. Imagine there's no parameters.
Right.
Imagine this is net new and you didn't know anything about that client.
Exactly.
What would you do?
What would you do?
And when you start with that true blank canvas, it's amazing what comes on the board. The second you start being the voice in the room that changes the dynamic of, we tried that. We tried that already. That didn't work. We've all heard it.
We've all heard it. Absolutely. No, you're right.
It's an ideas killer. Don't be the ideas killer in the room.
But you bring up a great point, because having the right people in the room is critical. And I just had this conversation with Warren. People may not know who Warren is, but I've just had this conversation with somebody, and we were talking about the right people in the room. It's the ones that can look up and say, there are possibilities I am open to looking at. And that's what really creative thinking is. It's about exploring the possibilities without the parameters. Do parameters matter down the road?
Yes. Of course.
Right? Yeah. Going back to there's the emotional side of the creativity and the inspiration that comes from that. But then there's going to be the sophisticated business side of it. Like, is it relevant? Is it meaningful? Will it make sense to the audience? But if we're going to get down to just pure creativity, it's opening yourself up to anything is possible. And I've said this before, and I believe this. We are the dream makers. We can create this. We've got the ability to come up with these ideas, establish maybe even new rules. Because sometimes rules can box you in.
Yeah.
What if we had no rules? What if there were no rules?
Right. Just because... It's so funny you said that, because someone asked me the other day about like, can we change the process? So part of my job is operations.
Yes.
And they were asking like, can we change the process? Are you okay with that? And I was like, listen, everything we created in this business is made up.
Right.
Once you think about it like that, society made up.
Made up.
People made this.
Civilization was all created out of humans. Right.
So anything that was man-made can be changed.
Right.
And so long as we really, really believe that and aren't taking offense to someone trying to change something that you've implemented, I think that's a really important point for leaders to realize. Like, you have to be flexible. You have to allow, it's back to the first part of our conversation, you have to allow criticism, constructive criticism. You have to be open to it so you can change your perspective and say, okay, something, an idea that I once had may not be applicable now, or may have evolved and be even better.
Better, right. Either the business evolved or the marketplace evolved, or the idea just evolved, right? So going in with that lens in your mind's eye and saying, let's put the rules aside, because that is probably the number one crusher. We can't do that because this.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that stifles creativity. or a leader that comes in and say, here's the idea, and this is the best idea.
This is what we're going to do. Go execute it. Right. What a perfect way to demotivate a team.
So going in and saying, anything is possible. We'll figure a way to get around it, over it, or through it. And I think if we go into in preparing, back to your previous question, preparing to go into a meeting is setting your mindset to say that anything is possible. And we are here to create greatness. And greatness was not achieved in the world by parameters. It was by rebels, mm-hmm. right? Our name is built around that. And we look at great leaders that have been out there that have created world-changing ideas. They didn't do it based on rules and regulations. They did it on saying, I can create something great that will impact somebody even greater.
And they didn't necessarily do it themselves.
They didn't know.
You know, like your idea is better when other people latch on to it. Not only because the idea gets better, but because then you have buy-in around that idea.
Consensus.
And then people start building on it and executing against it because they had a say in the idea.
And yeah, they've bought into it. They've contributed to it. And now they have ownership of it. Mm-hmm. Right? And I mean,
I used to get so frustrated, side story about this, because I was always like, this prepared person. I still am prepared, but it's different prepared. I was this perfectly prepared person. And I always tried to come with like better than everybody else slides and better than everybody else polished ideas to know that no matter what, I'm going to come out of that the most prepared person. And I used to get so disappointed when others didn't latch onto those ideas or it wasn't received well in the room. And I would be like, WTF.
Right.
Why? This is so frustrating. And I would get so, right? Yeah. I would get so frustrated with the way I handled it, with the room, with other people, right? Until I got into a real leadership position was when I realized like I was personally boxing people out of contributing to that idea because it was too polished.
You actually were boxing yourself out.
Yes.
Because you were like, I don't want to hear anybody else's idea because this is perfect and I've organized
this is right
it
and I've got president. Right. Move on.
Right. So I don't want to think about it. But in those moments now, and I see that you do this now, that you'll go in there and you are still very prepared, but you're open to listening to the others to influence your idea.
Right.
So your idea may change, may evolve, may even go away, but the root in that we term started it.
Yep.
And that goes back to that just simple idea. Prepare yourself as a leader to go into a room and bring those wheat germs of an idea, bring personality, bring humility and honesty to that room so others can do that. Because I think it's building trust. It certainly incorporates, it brings in the transparency that we're all just trying to figure it out.
Yeah.
Because if you go in saying, I've got it all figured out, well, then everyone's going to sit back and say, well, have you got to figure
it
out? I certainly don't.
And then you ask the person for a favor later. They're not going to give it to
They're
you,
not
right?
Give it to you because you have it figured out.
Yeah.
Right. So it's okay to say, and I've heard you say that before, we're still trying to figure this out.
Yeah.
And that opens up, it's an invitation to say, we're looking for any idea, mm-hmm. whatever size it is, from the smallest idea to maybe the biggest idea. I think that's where great creative comes from.
There's another tool in getting amazing ideas birthed. Sometimes it feels like that, right?
Yeah, yes.
Birthing a child when you have an idea. And that's the whiteboard.
Oh, the infamous whiteboard.
The infamous whiteboard. Mm-hmm. So I didn't understand its power. I was on the other side of its power for years and years and years, watching my mentor be at the whiteboard and just dance at it. Mm-hmm. He would listen to the room and latch on to people's words and put them up there. And then you could see it change. When people saw their words written there, there's like a pride there.
Yeah.
Of like, my idea made it.
Right.
But in reality, it's a consensus building tool. Because when you draw something up there or you write something down up there, what you're doing is saying, does everybody in the room agree with this or do they disagree with it? Did we just write something that triggered a challenge? Good. Even better. Then we're realizing what everybody really feels about this, what the idea is now taking shape, and we can actually see it, read it, feel it. When an idea is so ethereal, it's like you don't know whether or not people are aligned because they are hearing.
Or seeing it the same way, right? Yeah. And I think the greatest thing about a whiteboard, it's erasable.
Totally.
You know, and we've seen it. We've done this where we're writing it up there. And all of a sudden somebody says something and was like, holy crap. And you erase whatever was there because now you get to rebuild it again without really any loss of time. Mm-hmm. So that's, I think that's creativity too, is that you can restart an idea and change the direction based on input. And so that connecting the dots and then visualizing it, because most of us are visual people, we're raised that way. The visualization, the whiteboard helps in that, that we're all seeing why this plus this plus this plus this equals this. Mm-hmm. Do we agree? Maybe. What if we add one more? Oh, that's even better. So we can.
And really it's also, it saves so much time.
Yeah.
So like we just recently tasked you with a pretty daunting big picture initiative.
Yep.
And
exciting.
What could have been super daunting was solved in 15 minutes at a whiteboard.
Right.
The start
of it.
It's like all it needs when you have a mountain ahead of you, all you need is that first taste of the first step. Right. The first climb up that mountain, the first whatever, carabiner hitch. I don't know. I'm not a hiker, but it's like you just need help from someone else to say, like, get me started. Give me the momentum. Right. Help me with this.
And you're amazing at that.
But the whiteboard is that thing. And then right. a day later, right. or that same day, you had a presentation all spit out.
Right. And it's not done yet. It's actually evolved.
But
you're right.
Like,
you're
but the totally... point is, like, that would have been looming for you. At least
it
I think
been.
It
no,
would
it
have
would,
been.
It would have been. I wouldn't know where... It was so big that I wouldn't have known where to start. And I know that we started with just setting some criteria. Just some criteria around why was this going to matter, mm-hmm. and who was it going to matter for, right? Mm-hmm. We just started defining it, and then that just took shape. And you're absolutely right. I think going into it with that whiteboard session started making it manageable. And I think that the whiteboard does that. And
right.
it starts connecting the dots, starts visualizing it, and then it starts going, all right, I see this. I can start chipping away at this mm-hmm. and adding my own elements from the whiteboard.
Another big hurdle that I've seen is tackling the blank sheet of paper.
Oh, yeah.
The ethereal blank sheet of paper,
I know
right?
there's people that are very afraid of the
they're,
blank sheet of
they're,
paper.
And
fearful.
For good reason.
Yeah.
A blank PowerPoint that hasn't been started, a blank InDesign file, you name it.
Right.
Anything starting from scratch either scares the crap out of you
right.
or is extremely invigorating. Right. And so when you are someone... who is extremely invigorated by it, you owe it as a leader to someone who is terrified of it to help them get past that fear.
Yeah.
And some tactics, like what are some tactics that you'd use in addition to the whiteboard that helps a designer get started?
I love utilizing metaphors or experiences that are similar to what we're trying to accomplish. It may not even be really connected or relevant to what we're trying to solve for in a brainstorming session. But if I can bring experience, fortunately I have quite a bit of that to bring to say, this is similar to something that reminded me of years ago. And this is how we accomplished it. Not sure if this is the same way, but you could utilize that storytelling and experience to inspire somebody to say, wow, I never really thought about breaking it down that way. Then it opens up the door to say, well, let's break this challenge in a similar way. It's a different challenge.
Yep.
But it's
the approach.
The approach, right? Mm-hmm. To what I was talking about earlier about you're locked in a room and you're going, there's no way out of this. This is overwhelming. I'm stuck. I'm just gonna die in this room that's locked.
No one's really gonna be engulfed by the flame. You're gonna try your hardest
to get
out.
You're gonna figure out a way to get out.
Yep.
You are. So that idea of being motivated by the possible, even if it's from a historical point of view, to say, mm-hmm. I have experience overcoming a challenge like this, I believe, and I think the idea of belief, I believe that we can do this as a team here, and opening them up to say, all right, yeah, let's get up for that challenge.
Yep.
I know you and I are very similar in that we are always up for a challenge.
Well, the word that comes to mind is hype. So we even have changed processes. And right. like, I know people probably make fun of the naming conventions we use around here, but we do it for a reason.
Sure.
It's meant to change the vibe of that meeting. So instead of a kickoff meeting, we call it a hype meeting.
Hype sesh. Yeah.
Right?
Exactly.
And so it's like, it's meant to be a hype sesh. You're meant to get people inspired, invigorated, create the momentum, help them break down the mountain, get them started.
Right.
Get them inspired.
Exactly. And I think, you know, as we're looking at some of the other initiatives of this idea of explore, right? That this idea of exploring as an experience, not as exploring as a daunting task, but let's make it an experience. So as we are having an experience of laughter or an experience of teamwork, that is going to generate ideas. So it's not going in there with a daunting task of like, let's come up with a list of ideas. It's like, hey, I have an idea. Let's do some sort of teamwork building exercise. And what did we learn from that? And then let's apply that to working as a team to come up with ideas, right? Breaking down the stigma of this is work. We love what we do. And I spoke to a young man this morning about the people that are in the industry of creativity and marketing and business, entrepreneurship. They love what they do. And I think you have to go into a room as a leader if you're going to inspire others to approach that blank sheet of paper, demonstrating you love this. And
we
not
get
only-
to do, I heard a quote the other day, this isn't a got to job, this is a get to job. We get to do this. We have a privilege here. And let's use that privilege to help someone else who might be struggling with it to get the creativity flowing
and the clients that we work with, right? Because they get sometimes stuck in their routine. And how do we give them, allow them the opportunity to break out of that for an hour and a half, 2 hours, and they can leave motivated and trust us, building trust together, either with our team or with our clients, to say, wow, we can do this. We can look for a different way to address this challenge, right? The definition of insanity, of trying the same thing over and over and looking for different results. We have the ability. We get to look at challenges in a different way and come out with different results. And that's what I love to do.
There's one more piece about unleashing creativity that I just want to touch on. And that's when you get the first draft of something, you get the first design. It's a logo design, it's a presentation, insert deliverable or product here.
Yes.
And as the leader in that moment, in your head, you think, could be better. Mm-hmm. It is your job to give the hard feedback. Mm-hmm. Because in doing that and giving specific feedback, not just not good enough.
Right. No, that's the worst feedback.
But giving constructive, positive, you can do better than this feedback is not only that you showing that you care about that person, but on the other side of that, you're going to unleash them because I genuinely believe people want to rise up. They want to meet the expectation that's ahead of them. And if you clearly set what the bar is, that it's like, okay, that first draft came below that bar. Here's how we're together going to get to that top one.
Right.
Try a different font. Keep looking at this. Keep looking at outside inspiration. The colors are not right. That perfectionism that comes with creativity, the idea is not there yet. It's not formed yet. It's not connected to the business yet. What about this? What about this? What about this?
So it's a great question, and there's a sensitivity to work with creative people because they are basically when they present a design, they're presenting they're basically opening up their trench coat and saying, "Look at me. This is what I did." Mm-hmm. I approach it in the same way as creative strategy, by asking questions. Did you think about this? Did you think about a font that maybe had a little bit more personality than a minimalistic font, a sans serif font? What about color? So I'll look at a design or even copy if it's copy, and I may already identified where the issue is, but I don't want to go in there and saying this is all wrong. Here's what you need to do.
They're just going to resent you for that.
Then they'll never show me anything else because I'm like, I'm not going to show him because he always rips it apart. Mm-hmm. But if I start asking them questions around their thinking behind it, what they may have not tried, or if they did try, how did they try it, and make it a collaborative effort. And this happened with some logos recently with one of our designers. She came back with the most amazing evolution of her design. And I didn't. All I did was ask the questions.
Well, and you're seeding a different perspective.
You're seeding a different point of view because they approached it one way. Not that it was wrong, but they might. Sometimes with creatives, they'll lock in on a direction and they forget. Right? They walked in with that idea and they locked in on it. And now they're just. It's their idea. It's the old Allison. I came in. It was all polished. Look how beautiful
it is. It's perfect. Wait. It's perfect. Why are you poo-pooing all over this idea.
So by asking them to explore outside of that idea, all of a sudden they're still being creative and they're saying, wow, I never really thought about making it more playful. I just thought it was should have been more sophisticated.
And now the next time they tackle a blank in design file, they'll ask themselves those questions. And by doing that, you're giving them a tool. You're giving experience that way. That's a gift.
Totally gift. I've heard from designers that I've worked with for years, and they say, I hear Paul Pita in my head. and I said, good. If you can hear those questions, then I don't even need to ask you those questions anymore. You've come in already presenting it, saying, I thought of it this way. I thought of it this way. I believe these are the best options. And so feedback on creative is, I believe, handled the same way as coming up with new ideas. If it's not there, then let's explore what is possible. That might be one approach, but are there other possibilities that we could look at?
What call to action would you say to any leader out there who's looking to unleash creativity from their teams?
That's a great question. I guess I would start with assemble a team of people that look at life with possibilities. I think it's assembling a team of opportunist, and then allow yourself to become unattached to it and let them grow that. Guide them. That's fine. Navigate the questions that you know need to be answered, but allow them to nurture those ideas and allow them to fail. If they come up with an idea in a meeting where you're like, oh, no, that's a left field idea, but there's maybe a couple other ones that are good. Let them play with that. You might say, don't spend too much time on that, but I think you guys are committed to that, so go ahead and explore that. But so allow them to play their ideas out, even though in your mind, you might be surprised. They can come back and be like, wow, I didn't think that it was even close, but you came back and blew it away. So I think it's allowing them the freedom to explore, bringing the right team together, different mindsets to different disciplines, to the point that you brought up earlier. They don't all have to have the title creative.
Bring in the accountants.
Exactly. Bring them in because you would be surprised of how, and we've seen
because they don't get asked for their opinion from a creative perspective.
And it's all built up. How great is to allow someone to open up their creative mind and watch that, even if just put a smile on the face because you asked them. Because the next time, they might come in.
Thank you, Paul Pita.
You're welcome, Allison.